thankful for that God has woke us up this morning, thankful for your presence on today, and we're thankful for all the ways in which God continues to bless each of us each and every day. He woke us up this morning, starting us on our way. God is right here to the place where exactly where we need to be. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm a little struggling right now this morning. I'm going to be completely honest with you. Just feeling a little bit off and a little bit weird and all that, but I know once we get started, it's going to go. It's going to flow. But God woke us up and give us this opportunity to come and to praise his high and holy name, and we thank the Lord for that. Thankful for you here this morning. I know it was a little rough losing your hour. I like my hour. I don't know. I like my hour. I don't know. I miss it. I already miss it right now. But thankful the Lord has given us some strength today. I'll make it up a little bit later. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. While you're getting there, I just want to say, anyone who's visiting with us, it looks like we're pretty much family here, but if someone's visiting with us and you're here for the first time, any hands out there for first-time visitors today? All right, we got a first-time visitor. Amen, amen. Welcome, welcome. Thank you for your presence on today. We got a few, and so we just want to say welcome to the Green Bank Church of Christ. We've got a packet of information on our way out, and we'd like to be able to give that to you. And if you have any questions at all, we would ask that, you know, please let us know. You're within friends and family right now. Amen. We're looking at Exodus chapter 14. I'm already feeling better. I just said the word of God, I'm feeling better. All right? Exodus 14, verse 10. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. And they were terrified, and they cried out to the Lord. And they said to Moses, "What was it because there were no graves in Egypt that we brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians.' For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." And Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord that he will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today will never see you again. And the Lord will fight for you, and you need only to be still." And then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. And I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen." Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the song service this morning. Thank you for lifting us up out of our beds this morning. Thank you for this time in your word. And we ask that you might do what you do best. Open our eyes, open our hearts, and help us to see what you need us to see and hear. And Lord, help us to process and take that information and put it into practice and into our hands and into our feet. Thank you, Lord. Bless, guide, protect, watch over, and keep us. In Jesus' name, amen. I have a few spaces online where I create videos and stuff. They're not necessarily Christian. But, you know, anything I put myself into, because I am who I am, it's going to bleed through into it. And somebody inboxed me this week. And they inboxed me and they said, somehow I, on the other side of a screen, felt comfortable for them to share something for them. They, young man in UK, roughly 15 years old, somewhere around there, told me he wanted to give up on life. told me that he's been struggling with these thoughts of self-harm. And of course, you know, coming to me, I'm like, why are you coming to me? And obviously, I know why you, amen, amen. And so I'm directing him back to his mother and to his, I'm asking him, are you talking to anybody? Are you, you know, and all that. And he shared with me, I'm not going to go through the whole thing and all that, but I pointed him back, and he is getting help. So it's not like it was left on that email string. He's getting help with professional help that he needs. But it just made me start thinking about, you know, how many of us kind of feel, you know. So first of all, looking in the mirror, sometimes I get stuck. I just put that out there. I think I talked to you guys. We did a series on mental health and all of that, and none of us were immune to the challenges of mental health. And no, and there's no just get over it and, you know, and just pray your way out of it and it's done like that. So sometimes there's some challenging things that we have to work on and toward and all that. And so, but it just got my mind thinking about us and our brokenness, and sometimes even in myself, stages in my life where I just felt completely stuck and I didn't know where to go and what to do and who to turn to and all of that. And that's really what brought this message for us this morning. Feeling stuck. And how do I get unstuck? You know, some folk are stuck in relationships, bad relationships. How do you get unstuck? You in a job and you hate that job. How do I get unstuck? I'm in my thoughts. How do I get unstuck? Oh, there ought to be some amens on that. And so let's look back at verse 13 for a second. Moses answered the people. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You know, a lot of times I've gone to this scripture or even before that, when they're telling why you came out here to die. We want to go back and all these type of things. And you see them here with all of these excuses, but all these things that they're throwing at Moses right now. You know, how dare you brought us out of here? We just wanted to stay back there, you know, in Egypt as slaves. It wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad. And I mean, you know, at least we were taken care of and all of that. And now, first of all, what they're saying are lies. I just want y'all to know that. The things that they're saying are lies. They did want to leave Egypt. The problem is now they're finding themselves in a stuck position where they believe that we can't move past this. And so they see the Red Sea and they're feeling the heat of Pharaoh's army behind them. And so in this moment, in this climate right now that they're living in right now, they're wondering, they're figuring out, you know, they're trying to process this whole thing. And you see all the things that they're throwing at him. Let's go back to the text. Then keep freezing up on me. Go back to verse 10. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up and there were Egyptians that were marching after him, and they were, listen, terrified. I need you to see that first, because this is where it's all starting. It is rooted in fear. They're terrified. And because of their terror, they cry out to the Lord. And they said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt? You brought us here to die? All right. What did you do by bringing us to Egypt? Didn't we say, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve them than to die here in this desert. And I want you to see what Moses recognizes right from the start. Do not be afraid. There's where this is resting. That's the foundation. Everything that's going on right now is based right there in fear. Fear. And a lot of times when we get stuck, that's where we're stuck in. We're stuck in fear, paranoia. What could happen? What could be if I make this decision or don't make this decision, if I go this way or that way or left or right, what could happen? And some of us get paralyzed and stuck in what could happen. And that's where these Israelites are, what could happen. And not only that, I want you to see something. It's not only what could happen, because they do have some reality. They see the sea. They feel the heat. They know what normally happens when Pharaoh's armies catch up to a group of people that don't have any weapons. Hello. To a group of people who are running for their lives and are on a mission from God to go somewhere they have no idea even where they're going and all that, but they're following the king. But yet even them, in this moment, fearful and all that. And Moses tells them, don't be afraid. Stand firm. I had a whole big intro and all that, and I'm just going to squash it because we don't need it. Y'all know the story. You know the story of this. And so I want you to think about their story. Think about them being at that bank, at that Red Sea experience, and the fear that they're going through right now, the fear that you would be going through right now, and all that. And one of the first things that he tells them after don't be afraid is to stand still. Fear often creates urgency within us. I got to fix this. I got to move in this direction. We got to move quickly, because do you know what's getting ready to happen? The stock market is dropping. The prices of homes are dropping. This is happening. This is happening and all that. And so we got to move quickly because something's getting ready to happen. The sky is falling. Fear creates urgency. And that usually doesn't come from God. And panic sometimes makes us move quickly, rushing ahead without even trying to listen to the voices, the God's voice, to other voices and all that. And first thing that he's saying to them, look, hold on a second, stand still. Life happens. Tragedies happen. Hurt happens. Life, they just say, it happens. But when life comes down and rains on you and situations happen, the first thing that we hear Moses saying is stop. Stop. Stand still. You're in a bad relationship. Don't move and run. I see it. I've seen it many times. Yeah. My father was married about 4 or 5 times. I've seen him with the relationship, and then found this wrong, and then you move to that one, and you, and urgency says move. And then when you look back, there's collateral damage everywhere because you weren't patient. I'm telling some of my stories. What's your story? That's for introspective right now. Stand still was his first charge to him. And why is that? Well, I was thinking of, we were driving back from Florida. I've told you guys a story before when we were driving back from Florida. And there was a time that the storm was just coming down so hard. The storm was going down so hard. I mean, and if you ever driven in Florida, you understand it will be beautiful 1 second, and all of a sudden, I'm not just talking about raining. I'm talking about torrential downpours, and that's exactly what happened this day. And we're driving up the I whatever thing it was, and all of a sudden it just started pouring down, and there were some people on this motorcycle, and I noticed what they did. They drove right under the underpass, and they stayed right there. Sometimes the best remedy is just to stop. Stop. And that's exactly what Moses, stand still. And because in a stand still, first of all, that's telling you have no power over this thing anyway. You recognize you have no power over this. And so I'm standing still because all my efforts have come to naught anyway. doesn't stop there. Stand still and see. And see. And see. I want to read Philippians chapter 2. Go with me there for a moment. Goodness, just hold on. Gotta get back there. My Bible app just closed on me. Go with me to I want to read a couple, few verses. First in chapter two, verse 14. Verse 14 says, do everything without what? Grumbling or complaining, so that you might be blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and corrupt generation. And then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. I want you to see this for a second. First, he's saying this grumbling and arguing. Where does this come from? This grumbling and arguing that comes out from us. Where does it come from? Doubt, fears. What else? Anxiety, right? The stresses of life, the pressures and all of that. And he's saying, and then discontentment. Discontentment from within. And as he said, fear and doubt. Now, I don't know what God is doing. I don't know how God is doing it. And so just like the children of Israel, what were they doing? They were out, even when God freed them from and allowed them to cross over, they're in still going and walking to the promised land, and they're complaining again. God delivered them, and then even after he delivered them, they get back to complaining again. Anybody see themselves in that situation? Hello. I saw a few smiles. Some of y'all got it. Some of y'all got it. Isn't that us? God delivers us. We were crying about this situation. Boom. He finally solved it in his time. But he solved it. And now we're rejoicing in that. And then all of a sudden, something else comes up. And we bite right back to the same thing. Same thing. You know, it ought to come at some point when we go, you know what, like David, and recognize that I see what God is doing in my life. So I'm just gonna count it to him as credit right now. Hello. That I understand. I don't understand what's going on right now, but I've got many a times where I didn't understand then, and I've seen God work through it at that moment and brought me to this point right now. So whatever's in front of me right now, if it carries the same as it did back then, then I can trust that the same God that carried me through over here is going to carry me through over here. That sounds good. And it sounds, I mean, I could really preach. I could put a little run to that and everything. But it's hard to practice it sometimes, ain't it? It sounds real good. Yeah. But he's telling us, and we're gonna see how we can help ourselves in that. But do us all without that, so that you become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in this corrupt generation. In other words, there ought to be something different in you, child of God. There ought to be something different in me, child of God, that we should act differently than the world does on these situations. That we have a perspective that is different than the world. Amen? Now, Paul says something. Go down to chapter 4, yes. Instead of complaining, same situation. Instead of complaining, same situations. Instead of complaining in the same situation that we would grumble and complain, he tells us something. Rejoice in the Lord. When? Always. Again, he says what? Rejoice. Huh. Let your gentleness be made evident to all. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything, but in prayer and supplication, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Instead of complaints, same situation, rejoice. Instead of the grumble, same situation, rejoice. Now, how can I rejoice in a situation that is easy to complain and grumble about? How do I rejoice in a situation that is naturally easy for me to grumble and complain about? Well, let your gentleness be made known to all. The Lord is near. In your struggle, the Lord is near. In your challenging moments, the Lord is near. I can rejoice because I understand and my perspective is as the Lord is near. See, what often happens when I'm going through what I'm going through in my mind and all those things is I actually block God's presence out. I'm not thinking about God. I'm thinking about the world. I'm thinking about this situation. I'm thinking about that person and what they said about me. I'm thinking about that, this, that, what could be, what might not ever happen and all that. And I'm focusing all my attention on that. And if I focus all on that, what's going to happen? Depression, anxiety, fear, this flight running and all this kind of stuff. And look, all of that happens. He says, instead, rejoice. Again, rejoice. Why does he emphasize? It's not hard for us to do this. It's not natural for us to look and always see the silver lining. It's not natural for us to be a half cup full type person. But that's what he's telling us. Rejoice. Why? The Lord is near, and your gentleness needs to be evident to all. People are looking at you in these crises. People are looking at Christians, and they want us they're going to get their guidance from us. I think I shared this a few weeks ago. You know, when the church isn't saying anything to those that are being oppressed and being beaten down, it hurts our witness. Why? Because people are looking at us. They can't help not to look at us. You are a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Jesus said that. You are the light of the world in a dark world. You have to stand out and look different and be different. By nature, that's just what it is. That's what comes with the territory. And so if you're living in God's purpose, that's naturally going to happen. Going back, I was getting me. He says, rejoice, Lord, always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be made known to all. Why? The Lord is near. He's looking. But instead of anxiety, instead of like the children of Israel that were stuck there and complaining, and you know, you see the fear. Moses saw the fear. He called out their fear and all of that. And us as well, we need to do the same thing. Instead of that fear, he gives us a solution that's better. Do not be anxious about this. Instead, do what? Instead, do what? I'm not just reading. Now we're just talking. Instead, do what?
Pray.
Where's Rick at? Rick did a wonderful lesson 2 weeks ago, and he did a wonderful lesson on prayer. Thank you, Rick, for stepping into my place on that day and bringing that fine lesson. I was watching it at home. We were supposed to go down to Maryland, and there was a great that storm, and we waited to the last minute to see if we were going to go or not. And the last minute, the storm said there was a state of emergency, and that kind of settled it for us. We said, you know what? We're just going to stay right here and watch TV online or watch service online. And we watch Green Bank Church of Christ. Amen. He says, don't be anxious for anything, but instead, by prayer by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. I need y'all to really see that. He's not only saying pray. I can pray to God and not trust in God. You ever pray to God and talk to God instead of asking? I've done this before too, so don't think you're in a strange place. Sometimes I'm praying like the Pentecostal. Lord, I need you to. All right, y'all, some of y'all ain't been in Pentecostal circles enough. Okay, all right. I grew up Pentecostal, so I seen it. but or Baptist, okay. But sometimes we praying and we telling God, man, I need you to rebuke this Lord in my life. And I want you to see what he's really saying here in this prayer. Look at the type of prayers he's talking about. He says, be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition. I'm asking God now with thanksgiving. That's the key right there. That's the key that changes the prayer. I'm going to have to, let me bring that home for you. With thanksgiving means I've already thanked God for what has come that isn't even here. I'm already in my mind. You know what we do in our mind? In our mind, we usually go out to the worst, right? This situation's happening. What's the worst possible avenue that this could take, and where is it going to lead eventually? And it's usually the worst case scenarios that we envision. We don't usually envision that something marvelous is going to come as a result of what's going on, of this tragedy that's happening in my life. We don't usually think something beautiful can come from that tragedy. But I don't know if you've been reading your Bible. Most of the tragedies lead to something beautiful. There is beauty for your ashes in the Bible. Hello. But you only can see that if you start to try to think from God's perspective and not our own. When I see the situation that's messed up my life, maybe God is trying to teach me in this relationship how to have some patience. Instead, I want to run and escape the problems. Maybe this job and this boss he's a tyrant, but maybe the Lord is developing something for you later on. See, I learned something about tyrants. I served under some. I've learned what not to do. See, there's always a teaching. There's always something that God gives you, even from the worst moments of your life. There is something that God can use, even in the worst, to catapult you into something that you never thought you could imagine. How could we be here right now if God hadn't used tragedy? You don't even know the tragedy that some of us have walked through in order to get to where we are right now. But I'm going to tell you what. Every single one was a stepping stone to something greater in my life. And so I just look at things a little bit differently. That don't mean it don't hurt. That doesn't mean my mind don't start going crazy and all that. But what it does mean is that I get settled back to Scripture, and I get settled back to the Word of God, and I get settled back to the God who is above all in all. And so when my mind starts going crazy, I got somewhere to go back to. I got a foundation. I got the source. I'll preach that for myself. Thank you, Lord. He says, the Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God will pass all over you. It transcends all understanding. He's going to guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And then he says, finally, brothers, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, what's admirable, if there's anything excellent or praiseworthy, think on such things. I've preached this message a few times, the battle in the mind. And that's where the war is raging right now. And there's an enemy that is trying to attack us and to move us. He's like a roaring lion seeking whom he will devour. And he's sending his messages, and the Lord is sending his messages. And we have the Word of God, and we have to be there and figure out, who are we going to listen to? Who are we going to listen to? And in this world, we were talking about this on Wednesday, weren't we, on at the community Bible study. Margaret brought up the angel. You know, in the cartoons, the angel, one on one side, one on the other side, both trying to whisper in your ear.
in times of struggle, in times of doubt, you have those. Just think about that for a moment. You have someone telling you to run, abandon all, leave the people, leave the church, leave the community, you know, let go of that person, let go of that job, let go of this and run. Or, if you don't run physically, mentally, emotionally, you still in a marriage. Hello? You still at the job. Not effective in it, but as long as they pay me my money. But what Paul's trying to get to us to see and what God is trying to get us to see, this mind is where the battle is being waged right now. And unless you really, when you understand what's going on, when you understand the games that are being played, when you understand the wiles of the enemy and his ways and all that, then you're not surprised by him anymore when you can understand him. And when you understand how good and powerful God is and how wonderful he is and how ultimately he's gonna give vengeance to us all at the end, amen? In the Revelation, it says, how long, Lord, how long until we're avenged for all of this? The martyrs were crying to God. God, and asked him, how long? And he told them, you just wait. I got this. Vengeance is my business. Retribution is my business. Judgment is my business. Our business is just wait. And in that waiting time, we have to have a proper perspective of what we're waiting on. Because if not, it can drive us crazy. Imagine being at this Red Sea, knowing that there's Pharaoh coming behind you, and they have armies with all of these weapons and all that, and we have nothing. We ain't got no arms. We don't have no guns. We don't have no chariots. We don't have no horses. Somebody ought to. This was your time. I said, we ain't got nothing. And somebody should have said, but you got God. I thought I was in the church today. No, I'm messing with you. But isn't that's really the point. In their minds, they thought they had nothing, but they forgot they had everything. They had all-powerful God. They had Jehovah with them, guiding and leading them. They had. You have the Holy Spirit within you, Christian. Hello. And so he's giving us a charge saying, look, if you really understand the dynamics of this battle and of this warfare and all that, you understand at the end of the battle. See, that's the beautiful thing we have. I should have brought my regular Bible because I like holding it up. I'm just pretending it's a regular Bible. See, this book. We already know the ending of it, don't we? You understand the end of the book already. You understand the fact that we're going to be victorious and all that, that we're going to be able to reign with the Lord forevermore. We're going to be around his throne singing praises to God. He's going to vindicate us. But he says, for now, while you're here, when you're going through those pressures, when you feel like you're being squeezed, when you feel like you're stuck, the perspective to have is, first of all, stand still. Second of all, look up. Look to God. Recognize that God is here. And that's not something small. That's something great and grand. And the perspective, if I understand that the Lord is near and the Lord is here and the Lord is in this situation right now, if I understand that he's in it, that's going to give me a little more strength to continue to stand just a little longer until it breaks. I don't know when he's going to split the sea. I have no idea. But I'm going to stand there and wait until he does, because he's the only power able to do it. I can't go back. Where am I going to? And so that's the last part. Move forward. Stand still and see the salvation of God. And then God tells Moses to tell the people of Israel, move forward. What? Move. Maybe God didn't hear us correctly. Maybe our prayer didn't really get through right. You know, sometimes it gets scrambled and all that. Maybe that's what. Lord, there's a huge sea in front of us. Move forward.
And then, of course, you know the story. God opens and makes a way where there is no way. He makes a door where there is no door. He makes a highway, and he allows his people to cross on over. And then he shuts the sea up afterward. And then they look back. They look back and they see them. The thing you were the thing you were so fearful for is drowning in your past as you continue moving forward. God has taken us somewhere. God is taking you somewhere in life, and he don't want you to get stuck in these unhealthy thoughts, stuck in unhealthy actions, stuck in unhealthy season of life. Whatever's true, whatever you're polluting your mind with, what's going on here, he says, replace it, verse 8, with what's true, what's noble, what's right, what's pure, what's lovely, what's admirable. If there's something praiseworthy, think on that. Listen, life is crazy. People, hello, are crazy. Some of them to your left, right, front, and back. Hello, you can start right on stage. Hello. Life is challenging and it has all. But one of the things we learn about life is a lot of life is about perspective. Two people can go through the same situation. How is it they can go through the same situation and both have a different perspective? The Lord wants us to have his perspective. Move forward. Take the next step. I was told you the story earlier about being in Florida, and there were some people that were on those motorcycles, and they went under that underpass, and we kept moving, and they were there, and they were safe and sound, but guess what they weren't doing? They weren't moving. I continued moving, but I recognized something about my movement. You can't go too fast. You got to take it slow. Take it slow. All right. I love that song. I guess if you're going to move forward, especially as the torrential downpours are going, there's a certain pace you have to have. I recognize I couldn't see too far ahead. I couldn't, you know, I didn't see all my body. What I saw was these huge drops of rain hitting my thing. I had my headlights on and all that, and I could only see a few feet in front of me. Now, I want to tell you, that was scary. Scary. I think I told Crystal and the girls, and we were all in the car, and they all fell asleep. You know, the rain is just lulling them away to sleep. And I'm sitting, I'm driving and go, there you, amen. That's another story for another day. Great point. But all I did was just say, all right, I can't go nowhere. Because something about that road, too, like, I need to tell you. Because I'm trying to make it seem like I was this thing. There was nowhere for me to turn off to. And there was a part of that highway, there was no, what do they call it, the shoulder. There was no shoulder. So guess what I had to do? Move forward. It was scary. But we were able to do it a little bit at a time. Why? Because all I did was just keep this short pace. Maybe some of you right now. You don't have to have it all. You don't have to get to the destination tomorrow and all that. Take the right steps. Take the start. Do the right thing. Maybe it's moving away from a person. Maybe it's sharing a burden with somebody. Maybe, but take a step. You're not going to conquer it all in one day anyway. You didn't get to where you are and the tragedy and everything that happened right now or all of a sudden. No, but you can take a step today. And then you can take another step tomorrow. Then you can take another step the next day. And guess what? What they call them in gains. You're going to start getting them gains. Help us to get those gains, Lord. Help us to move forward. Yeah. Israel, they believed they were trapped. I'm getting ready to close up, y'all. I told you, I feel a lot better now than I first started. I feel a lot better now. I'll preach for another hour right now if y'all want me to, all right? All right? But, you know, the Proverbs chapter 3, 5 and 6. Brother Mark, can you pull that for me? Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 3, 5 and 6. Yes, sir. All right. Amen. Amen. Isn't that everything we just talked about wrapped up? Trust in him. Trust. Israel thought they were trapped. You might feel you're trapped. Trust in him. He can open doors you could never even imagine. Trust in God. Father in heaven, Lord, we just ask that you might allow this message to touch where it needs to touch. Help us all, Lord, as we strive to put our trust more and more in you. We believe, we trust, but even our trust gets challenged sometimes, Lord, with the tragedies of life and the challenges of life. And we're thankful, Lord, that you have given us a word to remind us and to continually remind us through your servants, through the teachings that are given, through the examples of lives that were lived, that went on before us, Lord. And we pray that we might be able to see, take heed, and make the necessary adjustments. Thank you, Lord, for this thing called life, the good times and the bad times, the sunshine and the rain, the dark moments, as well as those illuminating moments in our lives, Lord. We thank you for them all. Bless, guide, protect, watch over, and keep us all, Lord, in your care. Help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Maybe there's someone here this morning and you're ready. You have not yet surrendered to Jesus Christ. You have not yet given your life to him. See, those that, as I stated earlier, those that are found in him at the very end, we're going to reign with the Lord forevermore. And so this can be your day of enlightenment. This can be your day of change where God now ushers you into his family. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ that came to die on the cross for all the world, if you understand that we have this problem called sin that we can't deal with ourselves, but that's the very purpose Jesus went there, to be the ultimate sacrifice for all of us in order to give us something we could not do for ourselves. If you believe that and you're ready to rest in that and obey him in baptism. It's an obedience. It's not just I'm just getting wet. It's me saying I'm surrendering and giving my life to you, Lord, and I want to fulfill what you've called me to do. If you're here this morning and you're ready to fulfill that in your life, won't you come right?